and...
Are you using that for recording?
I saw up there with Jen too, early days.
If I remember to do it. It's 6 o'clock, so whenever you're ready.
I'm gonna look, Patrick, for you about the YouTube, what we're streaming.
Is it up?
I don't. I'm above my pay grade.
Okay, well, it's 6 o'clock, can we call the council and then we'll call the EDC together?
Okay, we can call the order, good evening, and welcome to the workshop for the City Council and the EDC Board. The invocation, Glenna Pierce and Mike Mo, Mike is out, I believe, possible COVID issues, so they will not be attending. Debbie, would you like to do the invocation?
Seriously?
Would anybody?
Okay.
Okay, Mike.
Well, please allow me to do a short invocation.
That's great.
Dear Lord, we ask that you keep in mind that all of us are peaceful citizens in this fine community. Let us make good decisions and enjoy each other's company. In God's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And the pledge.
With allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, you've been doing all that.
Mike?
Oh, Mike.
He kind of...
Can we go to roll call?
Okay, I'll do the roll call for, to start with, council. Councilmember Moore.
Here.
Councilmember Truman.
Here.
Councilmember Voorhees.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Hall.
Here.
Mayor Villarreal.
Here.
We have quorum of the city council. And I'll call for the roll call for EDC. Sean Moore.
Here.
Delane Hall.
Here.
Andy Moon.
Here.
Christy Maxwell.
Here.
Dwayne Ramirez.
Here.
I believe that's everybody. We have quorum for both.
Okay, no citizens here. If they did, they would sign up, but there are none. Okay, this workshop discussion on the priorities and strategic initiatives of the Economic Development Corporation. Presentation of the current pending and potential projects that the City Council has undertaken or will undertake and discussion of the City Council priorities. I'm gonna make a couple of requests again, is that we do try to get the EDC to get some more money for the fire truck. Any other things that we can do? Council, I'd like for you to please input on other projects you'd like to throw in here in the workshop to take to EDC.
Are we doing that now?
Well, the next item, B, is for the council input, unless you have other projects you'd like to mention.
That's my big project there.
Okay.
When you say fire truck, do you mean like pitching in for the cost of it, or do you mean pitching in for the extension of the bay?
Either or. Yeah. Either or.
Or do we have what we want?
Hold on. So the next topic would be a presentation of the current additional strategic initiatives and potential projects for potential adoption by Hollywood Park Economic Development Corporation and discussion of the city priorities. That's for council members. Now, y'all want to give ideas on what you think or questions you have on what we can do to try to work together or other projects that you might have.
Okay. The EDC, we talked about the Memorial Park, doing the restrooms. I would like to see the restrooms and the lights.
The lights at Triangle Park?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm gonna name off some things that I would like to see. That doesn't mean it's necessarily an EDC thing, because I don't know what they can pay. Some of the other things, is it on for me?
Yes.
Some of the other things I've seen is like the landscaping here at City Hall. I think it's very tired and weak and needs to be redone. But I don't know if that's something that EDC can pay for. But the main thing is the triangle park. I mean, I've been going to the meetings for almost 4 years and it's still not done.
I think one of the things the EDC needs to be doing is, and I found out who the, at least we're over here at the Galleria, who the project property management group is, it's REOC. I think one of the things that the EDC needs to consider doing is incentivizing the types of business we want to go in there. So we're wanting to have sales tax generating businesses. So we either incentivize the broker for commission or incentivize those businesses going in there in such a way that we get that sort of business over there.
Didn't you talk to me?
Yeah, if I could talk to that real quick, just kind of give you an update. So I was right on the same wavelength when I started about 18 months ago. I contacted the broker and let them know we'd be willing to help get anybody in there that pays sales tax. Because, you know, I think the church was in there.
Yeah.
There were some other service businesses. So we have a place going in there that's like a kind of like a Fast Eddie's. It's called Pocket's Billiards.
Okay.
So it's going to be a bar and grill with billiards. There's a high-end Mexican restaurant that's coming in.
Okay, good.
And then they another high-end cocktail lounge. It's owned by the same people who are doing the Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
And then somebody has taken made an antique mall on the front left corner. So everybody that has come in that's been new has been sales tax generators.
Good.
So that's definitely been a focus. And I've had really good conversations with Cynthia Ellison, who's the broker over there. I talked to her pretty much once a month, you know, about a week before our meeting to get an update and find out if she needs anything from us. The only one thing she may need is on Pocket's Billiards. They're still worried about whether or not they can get their liquor license because there's some city ordinances. And I told her I could almost virtually tell her that city council would approve that use.
Okay.
So that may come to you guys in the near future. But according to her, the center's 100% leased out at this point. You may not notice it because they're still in build-out phase. But
this is just the Galleria.
Just the Galleria. Okay. So now it's time to focus on some of the other buildings that we have.
Okay.
Andy, as soon as the restaurants and everything open, if you could let me know, because I'm on that San Antonio restaurant group, I'll really post them out there on Facebook and everything to get them some business coming.
Absolutely. Thanks.
I'm of the same mind that I would like the EDC to concentrate on bringing in sales tax revenue, generating businesses. I'm good with them. If they can pitch in some money to the extension of the fire bay, I'm good if they can pay for the septic system, although I believe that is something that we can also pay for out of the
ARPA?
The
ARPA funds?
ARPA funds,
sure.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but as far as landscaping, I don't, for me, that's not an appropriate project for EDC just because it has nothing to do with bringing in business and.
Well, and I agree that I would like the city to do it. To me, just.
I mean, I would.
A fresh look.
I don't argue with you that it needs an upgrade for sure. but you know, I know that a former EDC group, you know, had some big thoughts about landscaping that were super expensive and were not even on our land. And I don't think that that's a wise use of it. Yeah.
I'd also like to make a comment in regards to the fire truck. You know, part of what should be attractive to those businesses is that they have police and fire that are responsible singularly to them. And I think that's should be a good use of funds for EDC to help with that, with at least with the fire truck, and keep those public opportunities available to them.
Yeah, I agree.
On the fire truck itself, we examined the kind of chronology and the different issues, and there are certain things the EDC can do and certain things the EDC can't do. So you have basically a lease to purchase right now that commits a certain amount of funds for the base, the truck itself. It's not, we don't recommend the funds be used to pay that portion. If funds were to be used for that portion, it should have been kind of approved prior to the lease purchase. Now, the thing is, the truck is being built.
And so upgrades, bells and whistles, things that are kind of added on during that build process, that's definitely something the EDC can do. And the EDC can, you know, if it chooses, it legally can do the extension of the bays. That's within its ability to do. And the EDC can just talk about other projects that may be able to take off, you know, general revenue funds from you to compensate it. But the kind of paying off debt that's already committed is where you get into a problem with use of EDC funds. If that makes sense.
And I think Mike brought that up at the last meeting when we talked about it. That
yeah.
If it was something where we were thinking about buying one, and we said, and then EDC said we will give us $9,
yeah.
then that would be okay. But we've already
committed it,
sent it off, and now
yeah.
it's like we'd be making a payment or something.
Right.
Can I ask a question of that?
Yeah.
You mentioned the bells and whistles, no pun intended, on the fire truck.
Yeah.
But the with that, because there were several options and
mm-hmm.
add-ons along the way, and so if those were already put on that checklist, would those still count? Because I don't think we can really do much now to go add more on.
Actually, I would check with the manufacturer. When those things
sure.
get built,
sure.
there are certain like milestones
right,
during
right.
the build.
They'll be up there in a couple months.
Yeah, and
sure.
believe me, they will push the
okay.
chief
okay.
for different things.
Yeah.
And during that process, things that aren't otherwise committed definitely are allowed
okay.
to be any EDC project.
When you say committed, that means that build contract is already intact. They can't remove things from that contract.
Yeah. They won't
no,
change
no.
It's pretty basic yeah. anyway.
And what that contract states is what EDC can't basically get in on. Anything afterwards, like if they come and say, hey, they want to add better tires or
yeah,
better
or,
wheels,
or upgrade the radios.
That
or stuff.
Is where EDC could come in and say, okay, we can.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay,
that's
what
correct.
What is the turnaround time of us getting this from a manufacturer?
It's 18 months, I think. It's
well,
yeah. No. I mean during the build. Process.
So Johnny and some of his guys are going to go up there to look at it, and it's I think in the next 2 months they're going to go and go over some paperwork. I'm not sure how much of the truck they'll actually get to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll do another. I think there's one more time after that, probably late in the fall, to make sure that's what they want and go through and do a physical inspection with a checklist.
And the expectation is when they come back, we would know new bells and whistles, and at that point, the EDC could say, "Hey."
And that might be at the one that's in February or March. I forgot exactly when he's going to be.
But when
maybe
they
March
return back
April.
From each visit, they
right.
should come back and say, "We paid for this. This was committed." They talked about this.
Yeah, we want to add this.
Right.
We want to upgrade this.
They
right.
say, hey, can we add this? That's when EDC can come in and say, we can support that.
Or absolutely.
Right. That's just a matter of if we can get that with that time
that
frame.
That time
period,
that turnaround. Yeah.
With that, because the truck is supposed to be here by December.
Now,
give or take.
Which manufacturer? Pierce?
Okay.
So, my experiences with Pierce and other cities,
mm-hmm.
If you've got your... kind of your dealer rep that he's talking with.
We do.
If he asks kind of in advance of what kind of options may be available,
yeah.
the chief may be able to get an advanced look at things.
Sure.
To kind
sure.
of get a jump on
sure.
Whether or not they have the ability to upgrade or add. Or
right,
like.
Right. Okay.
The garage add-on is still a possibility.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now that, and I could speak on the current situation of the add-on. We've engaged with the architect and an engineer. We have the architectural drawings probably 99% complete, and then architect is going to finish that up in the next week or so on his end. And then we'll take that information, put it into a request for proposals, and get someone to build
bid
it
out.
Bid that out.
Yeah.
That'll be a whole other process. And then a few months to build it. And it's material dependent at this point. There were some materials that we asked about, I think it was yesterday. We had the architect on site, and he said, I wouldn't use that material. It'll take 6 months to get it. So he said, let's find something that'll take a month to get.
Does the architect create any RFP?
No.
He's not going to bet out the contractor
on it? He's going to create the specs.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
he's
going to
create the specs.
Sure, okay. Sure,
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
so.
And the basic is...
Is he going to be part of the consulting process of who we go with? Or do you have somebody here who knows how to vet out contractors?
Not sure if I'm ready to speak on that part yet.
I'm just saying you might want to include the architect in that.
Sure.
You know, as far as vetting out, who's bidding, did they bid in the spec? That's kind of opportunities.
I understand. Sure.
The only thing I will comment, once you, before you publish the bid.
Oh, sure.
The EDC at that point should, once you have the specs before you publish the bid, if the EDC is inclined to want to help, that would be the time to bring it forward. That way you're not running into a timing problem or a payment of past debt problem or any of that kind of problem.
Good point.
If it were between the bay and adding bells and whistles, and it seems to me like we would have already put on that fire truck
what you want.
I don't think we should be paying for bells and whistles when that's a want and not a need, when we have other expenses that are more pressing.
Right. And the basics of that fire bay extension, the fire truck that is on order is 4 feet longer. And the current fire truck, the two fire trucks we have, they back in and they are this close.
Yes.
And back there, literally this close. And so, and they are snug in that fire bay. And so the new fire truck is 4 feet longer. And so its nose would stick out on that end. So we said to the architect, we need something at least 4 feet longer. We're going to 20 feet longer.
Wow.
Right. And what that will do, it's not as simple as just building the walls out. What it will do, so you have a better idea of potential funding of that project, is it's CMU, but it will come out, and then what, if you're not familiar with back there, there is a slope that goes down.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have to dig that slope out with that concrete and the pad, and then it'll go up right up next to the carport where the police park there.
Are they also gonna fix the parking lot, the asphalt, because the fire truck can only go out this way, mm-hmm. because if they go that way, it hits bottom because there's a hump
sure.
in there.
It's still going to come out. We tested to make sure that turn radius was there. And it'll come out, like I said, about 20 feet, 20 point something.
No, I mean the parking lot mm-hmm. has something wrong with it where the fire truck cannot go this way just because of the road, just because of the parking lot, not because of the turn. You'll have to ask Johnny about that tomorrow.
The truck bottoms out with a dip.
Right. Well, it's not going to go that way. It's going to still come out this way.
Okay. Sure. So they can't. They're not fixing that part.
No, I don't think it's a steep decline there. So they're going to come out this way with the fire with that ladder truck. And then the bay itself, instead of the walls just strictly coming out, it'll be the same material, but it's one side's going to come out and the other side's going to go out like this. So it'll be a lot more storage area for them.
Are they doing for the uniform, the bunker gear?
It's related to the bunker gear. There'll be like the sink and the washer and a compressor, things like that. Some of the stuff is like the compressor and the ice maker and all that stuff that's loud in the bunk room is going to be moved out where it's not so loud in the bunk area.
Well, but one of the problems with the fire department was that when they start that truck up, and I've been out there before where mm-hmm. I'm out in the parking lot and they start it up and I end up smelling like said that.
Exhaust.
Those fumes, that exhaust is sprayed all over those bunker gears.
Oh, I think there's another place they're going to have for the bunker gear.
Okay, so they are taking that in. Okay.
Right. We'll have to wait until that's built out so we know exactly where storage space will be.
Thank you.
Okay.
What other properties are, maybe this is for you, Andy, what other properties are vacant in Hollywood Park? Didn't we lose that call center?
Yeah, you've got an empty building on the back of the Galleria that they sold, I don't know, a year and a half ago, roughly. It was a little campus, and it's still vacant.
Isn't it?
It's right in the backside of...
the little nursery school?
Right by the nursery school and back of the collision center. Right back
there. Oh, the old food distributor?
It's still empty, as I looked.
Those guys that own the first cafeterias?
I think that's them, yeah.
So they
moved out of that? Yeah, they sold it over a year ago.
Oh, nice.
So it's empty. You've got, I still can't figure out. I went up, and you guys may know, I assume there's office space in that former Trophy Hunter place that still needs.
Is that ours?
Yeah, that's ours.
Yeah, from Valero or Circle K.
They've had that thing on the market for a while. They had it on the market, I want to say like 1.8, and now it's at like 3 something. They didn't get any offers, so just double.
Well, you would think it would be like a restaurant, but it's all broken out into office suites and stuff, so it's...
If we were going to do something on that, and I actually looked at it for buying from my own company,
yeah.
The parking situation is terrible for the size of the building. So the lot behind it, I'll tell you, my contract that I offered was we would get the residential property behind it as part of the deal, and we would have to be able to rezone that for parking space. It's fine because there's like a pretty big green belt between that and the next house, mm-hmm. So it probably would have been a pretty good use. And the owner didn't go for it. So what they've done in that building is they've moved the trophy hunters upstairs, and they got the trophy hunters magazine also into the building, but he moved all of his operations across the street to a property in Stone. And they've been trying to leave it empty so that they can get it relet. And right now it's a huge TV studio. And so they rent it out for a Bible trivia show that Kirk Cameron does.
Huh.
And then they also do that's executive suites in the basement. Kind of sublevel. It's a pretty interesting building. I don't know what we did to pay sales tax, but one of the things that I wanted to look at doing is bringing in an organization that would take themselves through Holiday Park. And I was thinking like Mission Golf Carts was the first one I thought of because they sell so many golf carts here, and I don't know how many more they sell throughout the state of Texas. But if we get them to put a sales office here and run all their sales through it, where the sales tax comes through Santa comes all the way to San Antonio, that might be something we could do. So Ryan and I have spoken about different groups that we could try to get in there and how to structure that. I think Rackspace was the example we talked about in Windcrest. They have negotiated to take a large portion of all of their national sales through the city of Windcrest. So
Texas sales. All Texas sales.
All Texas sales. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty big windfall for them.
Sure.
So if we could find an entity like that, that we could say, hey, just even if it's just a satellite sales office and set that up, that's definitely something I'd like to focus on doing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that food distributor moved out, and I don't know what we're doing there, but that might be a really good opportunity.
Well, I'll talk to the broker on that CBRE. They've been trying to find somebody to lease it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And
it's been sitting empty for a while.
I want to say the one next door, that other two-story office building, the top floor of that is almost completely vacant as well. So
where's that?
I want you a Vista just right next to the same one.
Okay.
This little red, kind of, I think red stucco building,
mm-hmm.
Right next to the Service King lot.
Okay.
See, I thought the trophy place was for sale, but they're just trying to lease out some offices.
No, it's for sale, and that's the problem is they're trying not to lease it.
But the sign's down, I think. Well, I haven't been by there, but I thought last time I looked,
Transwestern sign was up, but it's been about a month.
I realized I didn't think of the parking like you said, but I thought that'd be a fantastic restaurant. I mean, when you look in the windows, it's got a fireplace, a fantastic waiting area for
it would actually a really, really good title company.
Right.
Is what it would
be. But is that correct?
Should be.
Okay, yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the other office buildings going down in front of on 1604.
That's on Terrace Center.
Yes, on Terrace Center, and there's the other one. There's quite a few vacancies in there as well. But,
yeah,
you know, they're medical offices or off their office suites and that sort of opportunity. But it may be another sales center opportunity.
Right. I'm not that sure the sales centers.
Next door, like where Hollywood Dental is. And
there's
the Centera Medical, is that what they call it?
That's After the Oaks is where
After the Oaks, yes.
Yeah.
But is After the Oaks in Hollywood Park?
Last I looked at the chart, it was.
Look at that. The white map might show better on that.
That looks like it's carved out.
That's the map, right?
Yeah.
You know what? But
I did have somebody
approach me about doing something kind of cool, trying to find a place that we could redevelop to make kind of the antique mall concept and bring in little booths for Fredericksburg wineries to come in and sell their wines in like a big warehouse style. So we've been looking for a spot in Hollywood Park to make that happen, but I have no clue where to do it unless we, you know, annex that big section right next to Woodrow's maybe or something like that. But that would be awesome if we could get something like that to work.
Is that where they're going to build apartments? Is that where they're going to build apartments? I've heard that they're building apartments in there somewhere.
Everybody keeps promising they're going to do something. I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, someone said that last night.
Well, Tanya said that about her.
Said that. And well, it's San Antonio.
Yeah.
And it's 30 acres. I think the gentleman lives in Mexico. And I've heard stories, you know, brokers have said that it's under contract. Somebody's selling it and selling it. And there's supposed to be apartments in the strip center. But whether it is, and it's behind Woodrow's, and then it goes all the way around to the mini storage, I guess, where the lobby is in the 16th. It's a pretty big area.
Yeah.
But nothing has happened. I still see for sale signs up. So.
Well, if they do that, I just want to put out there, this time they try to go build apartments. When they come in here to go, does the Hollywood Park Fire want to provide service, or because Bexar County has sent us to you, we go, yeah, and here's what it costs.
But are they Bexar County or
San Antonio? They're San Antonio, so we don't have to cover them.
Be interesting.
But see, we cover these apartments because they're not San Antonio. They're Bexar County.
They're county.
They're Hill Country, but Hill Country employee utilizes the city of San Antonio.
Correct.
No right, contract. They contract.
Through contract.
They pay them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so if the apartments were in just a Bexar County little hole and not San Antonio, then yeah, we would be able to do that.
Okay, let's get back on topic.
Okay.
On the council side of things, I know, turned it off. On the council side of things, just one quick. Councilmember Voorhees, did you have some input?
I agree with all the above.
Will y'all make sure your microphone's on, please? Thank you.
Where we're going to house the really nice fire truck. Some of us were at the Triangle Park on the weekend and had the pleasure of using the Port-a-John with everyone else. So I, for one, would be certainly be in favor of that, and in lights as well. So anything that we can do to improve our situation like that. I don't want to belabor say everything that everyone's already said. So yes, generating sales tax for the city. If we've got things that we can generate from, let's get on it.
So if I may, this question was asked of the council, and it was very similar to what y'all discussed. I just want to make sure that was there. Council's feedback from November was support of purchases and asset acquisitions for police and fire, as well as recruiting businesses that generate sales tax and filling those vacancies, possibly the fire bay extension project, and of course Triangle Park being utilized by residents. And Councilmember Pierce could not attend tonight, and she did provide some information here. One, I believe her son, I didn't bring the email with me, was, let me start by saying everybody is in favor of the restroom at Triangle Park. That's what I've heard over and over, everybody I've talked to about the restrooms in Triangle Park, that there should be restrooms in Triangle Park. I believe her son submitted some citizen comments, if you will, about if the city council is going to put restrooms at the park, please put them out of the park and on the walking side. That's their input about where they should be located or where they should not be located.
Glenda's son gave that one?
He's sending a map. He's 10. He's 10. And then her main issues, excuse me, are Triangle Park restrooms. And a lot to read there, but I may wait on a second on that. And then, of course, there's three things. Triangle Park restrooms, the entrance to the neighborhood, and how that's maintained and all that. And then have a formal process where the council's interested in requesting money about how that works with the EDC. So maybe that's not a specific request. But nonetheless, Triangle Park is the headliner there. And I would also like to add that there was a survey that went out about park use here in Hollywood Park. And in that park use, I asked about Voight Park, or the survey asked about Voight Park, and which is well-loved. And then also asked about Triangle Park and then the Donella Pocket Park. Okay. The main thing about that, the easy takeaway from that is, what improvements or amenities would you add to Triangle Park? And about two-thirds of those said restrooms. So not only the public on the survey result there, but everybody I've heard say, Triangle Park, aren't they going to put restrooms there? So that's the input on that.
I'd like to say something. Correct me, I don't know if this EDC is still on board with it, but with Tom up here, I met Tom and a contractor there at Triangle Park, and Tom's idea was he wanted it put, the restrooms put inside the fence, right along that, I guess, it'd be first baseline or whatever, and his reasoning was, so if you're there at the park and you're playing, your little kid doesn't go out of the park near the road or whatever to go to the restroom. So was EDC looking at that, keeping it in there, or were you wanting to do it outside?
So we've got kind of a due diligence initial review, and it was essentially a feasibility study. The guy that designed that put the restrooms inside the fence line, but not in front of the entranceway. It's one of the things we looked at is we're gonna have to put the bathrooms on that side of the property because it'll make it easier for the lateral lines for the septic to run downhill instead of uphill. And we had discussed, I think Tom and myself and everybody on the board at that time, that we felt like it's a little more open on that side of the park to be more secure, so that you're not kind of in the kind of a hidden corner going to the restroom. For safety purposes, we felt like it'd be better to be out a little more open on the corner. But we definitely have talked about how to modify the bathrooms as they're drawn right now. So what we're working on is getting a design builder that will not only design the whole thing, but also build it. So we're looking for, in general, for a contract, for somebody to do both of those services. I think, kind of like Sean was talking about earlier, including the architect in the bid phase, what we're looking to do is just do it all in one piece and have somebody say, I can design it, build it for this, and this is what I'm recommending. We're having them match the Voight Park to some extent, and then also match the rock wall that's already at Triangle Park. So trying to integrate into what we've done throughout the park for uniformity. And we're still, I think, a long ways away on what the final product looks like. Glenna's son, Glenna Pierce's son, actually met me at the Chili Cook-Off this weekend, and he had mentioned he would like to see the first baseline be spared. And so I think on the drawings that we have, the bathrooms wouldn't be right on the first baseline, but they'd be dangerously close for the overthrows. So I think there's still some design to do and some locations to be reviewed. But certainly, at some point in time, we're going to have to take this to the citizens for input. And I think when we get that input, it'll be a conversation about where those bathrooms actually go. What I would personally like to see, and Mike Wilson and I have spoken about this, is four quad bathrooms. So all the toilets would be in line. So two bathrooms, or two toilets back to back on each side, all four unisex and separated with no sink facilities inside. And then we'll have the sink facilities on the outside. And then also a water fountain, because the water fountains are a little rough over there. And then one of those little dog water fountains as well. So it's kind of the design we've talked about, so we'll see what we end up getting. But I also like to see, right now we have an entranceway right there. I wouldn't have a problem if we block that entranceway with the restrooms and move the entrances around to the sides, so that it's a little more difficult to come in and use the bathroom. So if you're there at the park, you're actually at the park, and you're not just there to stop by and use the restroom. Because another concern I've heard from residents is that contractors drive through the neighborhood and stop using restrooms.
Yeah.
And I was actually up in Dripping Springs at their public park, and they had a timer dial on theirs, so it would lock at certain times of the day. And then we could also probably have some other kind of code system, punch code or something, so everybody kind of has to know the code. and we started having problems, we changed the code and distributed it again amongst the citizens. But there's a lot of things I think we need to look at, and we've still got, like I said, a long way to go on it, but everything's being considered, and we want everybody's input.
Yeah, well, two things. I guess you're talking about, when I say the first baseline, just right in that corner. The reason Tom talked to the person about it was that's where you have electricity and the water and stuff, so that would make it cheaper to put it there. And then the other thing is, the policemen open and close Boyd Park. Whenever the park closes, they lock it up. So they could do the same thing there at Memorial Park.
And I haven't heard those two concerns, but...
Well, I mean, you were talking about doing some kind of timer where it's shut off and people can't just stop all the music. So that at 10 o'clock, they could just lock it up and nobody's using it.
Yeah.
And just a comment, there was a pending resolution of EDC passed that's, I guess, going to council this next meeting to move forward on the RFP process and developing the RFPs.
It was the next step. I was going to mention that. It was the next step just to make sure council was signing off on that before they did too much work on the restroom project at Triangle Park. So
my thoughts on the Triangle Park project, this is taking way too damn long. This is two and a half years.
Well, my jury was there.
Well,
yeah. We've just wasted so much time on this.
Councilmember Pierce's comments that I had mentioned are there. If y'all want to pass them around, you're more than
welcome. And what about maintenance on that? Any idea what that's going to cost the city in maintenance? Or have you thought about that yet or not?
It's definitely come up. Okay. It's been a conversation. Actually, Glenn Pierce, I think, because you mentioned that already, Bill. So that was one of the questions she had asked, was the maintenance cost.
Sure.
We talked about it in the meeting, because that did come up actually in the EDC meeting. And the conversation was it has to be cheaper than maintaining what we have now, and it would give us a nicer facility, but we obviously haven't done the full study. It's definitely something to consider.
You mean maintenance of the restroom?
Cleaning
yes.
the bathrooms.
White Park.
Well, yeah, what's going to cost on this one?
I mean, that would definitely be probably one of our litmus tests, right? But I mean, as far as what they do right now to maintain the bulldog that's down there, it's got to be someone.
Oh, the porta potty?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure the porta potty is a contractor.
Yeah, the contractor comes and cleans that up.
So whatever we pay them. You know,
wouldn't it be a public works opportunity?
Yeah.
Sure. Just need to know how many hours that would
add.
Well, it's
I mean,
public restrooms are public restrooms.
Okay.
I don't know. That was something special.
So, the next item I think is if y'all are ready to move on is C. For
engineering. Okay. Presentation of the current pending and potential projects of the Economic Development Corporation, as well as current and future initiatives of the EDC.
You mentioned the antique mall.
So I'm going to come up. I've got an input here. Something was brought to my attention, and it has to do with a company and an app that Andy, you are promoting, Broadminded Media. And this was brought to my attention last week, so this has come up here recently. And it has to do with your association with that company. Can you explain what your association with that company is?
Sure. Broadminded Media is a company, actually it's a new company. It's run by a lady named Debbie Johnson. Debbie Johnson owns a company for probably 35 years called Ad Ideas Media. I met them about probably 5 years ago. When I met them, we were looking at some marketing projects, and we actually approached them about doing an app for my company. We didn't end up utilizing them. We actually utilized another vendor. And I've just sat and admired their work for the last 4 or 5 years, became friends with them. The situation is that I think that you're alluding to is that I'm their registered agent for service and process. That is a role that I serve in. There's no legal or financial interest in the company. If they get served with a lawsuit, I just allow them to use my address to get served. I represent probably 50 to 100 companies in the same capacity and don't charge them anything. You know, I think when we get brought in on boards, we're asked to bring our experience, our knowledge and our network base. So we brought that group in on Restaurant Week. So Julie, that was here before, had started Restaurant Week. I want to say we were going to try to launch it in July. It didn't get off the ground. She ended up moving out of town. It got kind of thrown in my lap in September, October.
Oh, Julie Shacklett.
What? Say what?
Julie Shacklett.
Yes.
Are you EDC? Okay, I thought
yes.
It was you. Okay.
So I tapped my resources and went to Broadminded Media, asked them if they'd help us get Restaurant Week off the ground. Thought they did a fantastic job. And of course, they don't do the app. That's another company. But they are a marketing partner for them. So I definitely was interested in this app that the cities are utilizing. They've got several people that they work with nationwide. The company actually develops for Google. They develop for Amazon, so they're a sizable technology firm. I felt like it was an opportunity for the city. That was a good opportunity. So I brought them in. I do feel like I disclosed in my relationship every time that I allowed Debbie Johnson to present to us. And it sounds like some people are unhappy with the level of disclosure. Legally, everything's been disclosed. I'm going to continue to bring friends and associates in to help us, and I don't anticipate that anybody on either one of these boards would not be tapping those networks as well. So I will say that based on the last meeting, I felt like there was enough pushback from the EDC on the app. I felt like the cost was a little too much for people. On December 13th, I contacted Oscar and asked him if the president of the software company could come in and present. I did not get a response. And so after that presentation was pulled from this meeting, I contacted him, let him know I didn't think that the city would be interested in moving forward and we wouldn't be pursuing it anymore. So that's the end of that.
Well, I guess the question is, and you said you disclosed it. Who did you disclose it to?
I disclosed it in the meeting, our relationship, to everybody in the meeting. It's public. People watch on YouTube. But Oscar, this is off agenda. I was kind of hoping we'd come in here and have a pretty good meeting and a productive meeting.
We can't have one.
I have nothing more to disclose than what I just said to you right
now. So you don't feel you should have told anybody else that you're an agent of Broadminded Media and you represent
that? I think that's a misrepresentation of what an agent is.
What is your definition of an agent again?
So I'm a registered agent.
Okay.
All that means.
You don't think anybody should have known that?
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm a registered agent for a ton of companies.
When you say a ton of companies, this is a simple Google search. This wasn't anything I looked for.
No, it's not hard to find me. You're right. It's very public.
Public to who? You told me in a letter that you disclosed this to Tom Sims and Delane.
Absolutely.
I confirmed with Tom Sims and Delane that you never told them anything of the sort.
Okay. So let's talk about hearsay evidence then. I don't understand why this is relevant at all about anything. Did you feel like Broadminded Media did not do a good job on Restaurant Week?
Andy,
are you alleging that I took any kind of money from them?
No, I'm not alleging at all. But I have no idea what Broadminded Media did for $9,800 under your threshold.
Okay.
And then it came back to us again that we're going to charge another $2,000 for 5 months or 6 months. Andy, I just don't feel ethically that's correct. We should be doing that. That's my personal opinion.
Let's talk about ethics, Oscar.
Are
we going to talk about ethics?
Do you like
is this the way this is going to go?
Yes, sir.
I thought we were going to have a cordial meeting.
We are going to have a cordial meeting. I mean, you need to be responsible. You're the EDC president.
Yeah. And let's get back to what we're supposed to be doing here.
The agenda references project initiatives, if you're going to discuss particular projects. The Broadminded Media app aspect is a project that can be brought up,
do I have a legal obligation to disclose any more than I've already disclosed?
The legal aspects of legally required disclosure never got triggered with specific regard to Broadminded Media. So only if the city council had entered into any sort of agreement that would have brought that on, so they're doing business with the city directly and not the EDC, then a required disclosure would have been triggered. But legally, you didn't violate any laws as they currently exist with regard to the disclosures, you know, that were made or not made. So you didn't violate any laws with the level of disclosure that you provided.
I have the agenda that you gave Mike McCann, that you wanted to present, and that I changed up a bit. On that agenda, the presentation was to present the development of a mobile application for the town of Hollywood Park by Broad-Minded Media. Your intention was to bring this to this meeting.
I sent you an email on December 13th and asked you if I could schedule it. I wanted to fly in the president of the company that actually writes the software.
So again, you're representing EDC and Broad-Minded Media.
No, I do not represent
Broad-Minded.
No.
Yours, Andy.
All right. A registered agent. There's tons of registered agent companies. What happens is if you have an LLC, a legally formed entity, you have to be able to be served in the state in which you're formed. A company itself cannot be served. They have to have a human being to be served if there's a legal process served against them. I'm an attorney. I do registered agent work for tons of people, and I do it for free. I never have charged for registered agent work. All it says, I will agree to accept service on behalf of your company. Now, I'm not accepting service as an attorney. I'm accepting it as a registered agent, and all I do is I relay that paperwork to you. As soon as I get served that paperwork, all I am is a secretary at that point. And I have tons of companies that say, can we use you as a registered agent? Broad-Minded Media came to me and said, can we use you as a registered agent so that I don't have to use a home address or another address? And that's what that is. Like I said, I have no financial, no legal interest whatsoever in that company, nor any of our other companies, or any other of the ancillary companies. I wouldn't do that. I would disclose that in a heartbeat. Okay. And you think that I would do a $10,000 deal for a restaurant week where I'm getting paid nothing? All I'm doing is introducing my network to you guys to accomplish a task and do a very, very good job.
So you don't think anything wrong with you sending EDC business to a client of yours? Because technically they're a client of yours, whether you're doing it for free or not. Are they not a client of yours?
They are not a client of mine.
But you are the registered agent.
I am the registered agent. Actually, it's not a legal entity anymore, and so I don't know that I necessarily serve as a registered agent.
But you do represent them legally.
Not as a registered agent now, because they're technically involuntary. What's it called?
They're not dissolved. Their registration with the Secretary of State,
right,
is forfeited.
So. When I moved my office in October, we pulled a list of every entity that I was a registered agent for a certain number of registered entities. I sent resignation letters for a certain number. I sent updated address. That actual entity did not appear in my search, so we did not even send anything from my office to update my address or anything with the state. So. Technically, I don't even represent them for that purpose. I said no.
But your office is right next door to theirs, was.
I say it again.
Your office is next door to theirs, or was next door. You're in the same building together?
Yes. Yeah, no, we actually office next door to each other in two buildings. I've been around them for 5 years. Like I said, I've seen and admired their work for 5 years.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the simple question. Why did you feel you needed to disclose it? Just, you said you did.
It's 100% irrelevant to anything.
You as the EDC president don't feel you should have disclosed that to your board as you're promoting them, pushing
them? So as my board came, or as they came forth, I represented how I knew the company, how I knew Debbie Johnson, and how I knew what they do.
Well, according to Tom Sims, you did not.
So
he has no knowledge. He has zero knowledge.
Tom Sims is not here to speak to that, and I have
I can get a signed affidavit swearing to that if you
like.
Let's
do it. I mean, that's going to be helpful. Go ahead and grab that.
Well, ask Dwayne. He was here.
Dwayne, did you remember having him disclosing that he was associated with Broad-Minded Media?
We talked about how we knew him, but that was.
Did you know he was associated with Broad-Minded Media?
I'm not going to get into association. As far as I'm concerned, this conversation is way beyond this meeting. I'm not going to get into this one. This is something that you guys need to develop and discuss on your own.
I agree. I think this should be discussed at another time.
I'm not
time
saying right or wrong in any way. I'm not saying. All I'm saying is, If there's an issue here that needs to be discussed between the mayor and the president of EDC, that is something that needs to be discussed outside of
here. I tried calling Andy, tried to meet with him before this.
Don't even say that.
Gentlemen, this is not what this meeting is about.
I'm not putting up with that. You can do that. You can say that crap to people in the HBCA all you want. I'm not going to let you tell me you tried to call me.
Did I not call you and send you an email?
Did I not send you an email?
Yeah,
December 13th?
I asked to meet with you.
And no response for a week and a half, and then you never responded to that email. First communication from you was on Sunday, past Sunday. And you said you wanted to meet with me. I had a full day Monday. I told you, just shoot me an email. I'm in meetings and on conference calls. I'll be glad to respond to an email. Sunday's the first time you brought this to my attention.
Again, didn't respond to me. I'm going
to
ask that we go back to our meeting, or I'm going to get up and leave.
I'll second that.
Okay. And my thought is...
All in favor, aye.
My thought is we just call the meeting.
Well, we were having a productive meeting, and I...
We have a conflict of interest, Debbie, whether you like it or not.
Well, not right now we don't. And if it... I mean, that's a separate issue.
Well, I need to insert myself here on two bases. One, I received a phone call from the city offices bringing the issue up. They were concerned that you were affiliated with Robin Bean. That first, I'd never heard of it. Secondly, we all have Rolodexes. And part of what we do is we bring that Rolodex and you know, I know somebody. I know this person. There, from my perspective, whether it directly applies to this situation or given the diesel situation, we all should be disclosing, I know this person, I know this vendor, this is how I know him, I do business. That should be a regular part of what we do. I was actually really surprised to find out we don't have an ethics clause, because we all should. We all should be obligated to an ethics clause to go, you know, any business you do for the city or in conjunction with the city or with the EDC, you have an obligation to reveal any potential conflict of interest. And I was really surprised that's not in place. So whether this turns out to be fair or foul here, we should have something like that in place for all of us, that we all sign off and obligate to, that we disclose our relationship with the people we bring in.
Mr. Moore, the mayor has already instructed me to prepare a draft of an ethics ordinance to give to the council at the next meeting, and you can consider all of those aspects.
Well, it protects all of us. It protects this situation from happening. It protects me from getting a phone.
But it also allows other city officials to know what's expected of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are they violating something? Are they not violating something? It makes it very clear. And
but
so,
that also
I think,
needs to include communication.
Yes.
Because the fact is, I have not heard about this till tonight. The other fact is, I didn't get a call. I didn't get anything. So if this is going to be a communication about a possible conflict of interest, it goes to everyone, not just to selective people. And if we are talking about conflict of interest, I'll go on record to say, I believe we have a conflict of interest that two members of the EDC board are also city council members.
Well, that's
is blurring lines between what these two organizations are supposed to do.
That's statutory. So,
I understand, but we're opening it up. We either talk about it all, or we don't talk about any of it.
Well, the agenda allows us to talk about projects, talking about what we're going to put in an ethics order or aspects
that
like that.
That's
for next
minute.
I understand.
I'll get back on task. Let me jump into projects.
What letter are we on?
C. If Andy has more.
So when I started on the EDC about 18 months ago, we had a laundry list of things that every month we just kept looking at it and talking about what we were going to do, and we just never did anything. So we kind of made a decision to finally just toss that out the window and kind of took a approach of, you got 100 things you're trying to do, you're not going to get any of them done, let's narrow it down, let's get one, two things done. So we really have taken a big focus on Triangle Park. I know everybody's disappointed with how fast that's gone. But when I started, it was scrapped because we didn't think that the EDC could be a part of it. So we determined a way to make that move forward, and that's kind of where we're at. So we're moving as fast as we can. One of the biggest challenges we have is the Public Meetings Act. So if we end up trying to work in between meetings, we can't really get much done. We come in once a month and kind of update everybody, we don't get much done either. So what we've done recently is we've created committees. so that we can work in between meetings without violating the Open Meetings Act. We're hoping that that'll help us get that moving faster. Mike Boylan did a really good job of kind of heading that up as a project manager, and hopefully move forward. We're just going to have a lot of red tape to eventually get through. So before we spend a whole lot more money, we're hoping to get City Council's buy-in on the overall plan once we get it together. One project that I would like to consider is potentially uniform decorations for our commercial spaces to kind of brand Hollywood Park, not year-round, but for the holidays. I think it'd be kind of fun to put a little money towards that and draw people into our businesses.
What do you mean by that, Andy?
Like, do like Christmas decorations for all the commercial spaces to make them look uniform and festive.
Like lights and wreaths and things like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, obviously we'd have to get the commercial owners buy-in on that. And then potentially like some sort of entryway. I know that was something that people have talked about quite a bit. Like some kind of archways or some kind of lighted entryways for the park as well. I think a big ticket item that I would like to see us tackle, and this is probably more for City Council, is the SAWS water rates. We pay out-of-town rates despite the fact that all of the transmission pipes go underneath us. And to get water in Stone Oak, which is further away than we are, is cheaper. Also for sewage, it's more expensive as well. This means all of our residents pay more for water, but also all of our businesses pay more for water and sewer. I feel like we could work a deal with SAWS to get that in-town rate. Ryan Henry and I have spoken about a way to accomplish that. So that's a big project I'd like to see us tackle. I'd like to see potentially a commercial sign rebate program where we help the businesses redo their signage to maybe make it look fresher, newer. I don't know that we want to, you know, dictate how they do it or what the signs look like, but you know, and I don't want to give any examples to call anybody out, but there's some signage that definitely needs to be cleaned up.
Along that line, can I suggest to you, like even at the Galleria, that we may look at throwing some funds up there, and I don't know, we'd have to work with Brioc or maybe even the property owner, who to redo their landscaping up there too, to make that look better and more inviting. So along the lines of better marquees and that sort of thing too.
Absolutely. There are, I'd like to have a really good directory of businesses. I asked Lynn Duane and Adolfo to help head that up. We have a lot of businesses that aren't just on the fringe of the neighborhood. There's actually some people that run businesses out of their house. So I'd like to be able to include those people as well. Actually, there's some pretty good-sized businesses that are actually in the neighborhood as well. So we're working on that. We put in traffic cameras, so this isn't necessarily a project, but I'd like to get an update of where we're at on that.
They're done.
They're finished. They're up and running. So drive slow. So recently we had some mail thefts, and the investigators, I don't know what they're doing with those cameras, but the question would be, could we register everybody's license plates so that maybe when a license plate is read, it throws a red alert, it's not somebody from the neighborhood. Just so in the system they can easily see those. I don't know how that's being utilized. It's not necessarily an EDC project anymore. I think that
the police are doing something, and you mentioned last time where they're off, if I remember this correctly, off the license plates that are coming in, they're able to get records on that car. So if somebody's in that car has got a record, or the owner of that car's got a record, it's popping up. I don't know if that's being utilized yet or not, or it's in the offing. One of the things we can do with traffic cameras that we got brought up at the City Council meeting was all these thieves are so smart, they always like to stop at the Valero because they're hungry or thirsty after they've robbed somebody. So if we get some high-def cameras, even just go and talk to Circle K and go, hey, why don't we change out your cameras, put in some high-def cameras in here, so we actually get good shots of cars that are parking, they're stopping, license plates, and actual you know, get their faces and get good pops, because the pictures we're getting off the Circle K apparently aren't great. Yeah. So that would be a good use of money, since they're all stopping there anyway on the way out. And apparently what they do too is they try, if they're stealing credit cards, they'll go to the gas pumps and try them there first.
Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. First.
Yes, that's a great idea. Yeah, just some things like that to think about security and how we can help improve on that. So we talked about Gallery Oaks.
Hey, Andy, what did you say about the little antique mall? Where is that going?
So,
is it the, is it the Crescent Moon? Is that the one?
Is
it the Crescent Moon? Is that the Antiques
yes,
and Collectibles?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty,
it's
pretty new.
We're in like fitness places just on the left, lower left hand side, furthest one down.
The Hest.
The Hest.
Yeah, right next to the Hest.
Yeah, it's far at the far end. Crescent Moon, I think it's got its CFO of like 2 months
so
ago.
So it's like
the
60, I guess, right?
Just around the corner. It fronts 281.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Great.
And so they said, I think she told me they had 60 booths down there. I think is what she told me. So it sounds sizable.
Oh,
she was going to come to one of our meetings and talk about it. But, we'll try to get her to do
and
that.
And then the Mexican restaurant goes
that one's going to go, so the center kind of comes together, and the driveway that goes between. Uh-huh. It'll be the end cap. I believe there was maybe potentially a Remax or something there before.
Okay.
And that was the, and then next to Cerrone's is where the high-end lounge would go.
And can you say what restaurant it is?
I think it's called Pink Velvet, I think. So, if I'm wrong on that and made that up, but I'm pretty certain it's Pink Velvet. Now that's the taco place. And I say taco, but it's supposed to be like a high-end nicer restaurant. They asked, what's the word?
Is it
Rosé?
Velvet Taco?
No, it's not Velvet Taco, but it's like almost a play off of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Rosé?
They asked Rosé if they would like to move, and Rosé said they're doing fantastic.
Really?
So they are not interested in leaving. It sounds like they have a pretty good night crowd, which is a rarity. So around 11 o'clock, they said it gets hot over there. So. Let's see, what else do I have?
A lot of places rent out their kitchen and stuff. Like if they had a night life there, they'd rent it out during the day for like breakfast or something, you know, pancakes and eggs or whatever, but they're probably not interested, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's quiet during the day.
Yeah.
Still want to figure out if there's a way for us to get golf cart access to the businesses.
I've walked it, and the gardens and stuff the enclave is going to be no.
Yeah. No, the only way I can figure out is kind of going, trying to get back there to where the Service King is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we went straight out of City Hall on the backside, I feel like we could connect all those parking lots all the way to the Service King is the biggest challenge, I think.
Yeah.
That's the one that has the gate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got the whole yard in the back.
So if there was a gap between their back fence and the Hollywood Park side, and we could shoot that gap, maybe. But I've looked at it and can't figure out how to make it work.
Is there a drainage ditch back there?
I think so.
There's a drainage ditch on the enclave side that we can go through, but good luck over there. One of the things I thought about is, could we just improve the sidewalk and convince TxDOT to let us drive down the sidewalk? Because you could just go down the mill, hop on the sidewalk, go right there to walk on, so you go right there to, and then we could do the same thing, come down Mecca, jump on the sidewalk, drive down to Galleria Oaks.
Well, so, it is our police policing, though. It is our police policing at this point.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a way to do it. I'm just going to have to get creative and get some more minds on it. Kelly's offered to drive around with me and kind of look at everything they've looked at before. And then the gardens gate, man, I wish we could get access to that in some way, shape, or form so that we could drive golf carts through there. Even if it's just golf cart access, maybe offer to put a smaller gate on there so it's not full car access, but it's just golf cart access would be great. Because that at least gets us to walk on.
Gets you to walk on.
Yeah, and Texas Roadhouse. So that's kind of the big ticket items for me. And then final item that I have, and this one's probably not going to be popular. I've been considering why we don't get rid of the EDC. So it's, you know, the mayor, the mayor is the executive director. So it's really just an extension of city council. It's hard enough to get people in this city to volunteer their time. And as much as Oscar and I butt our heads, I really do appreciate him volunteering his time to do what he's doing. And I appreciate all you guys for volunteering your time. It's not easy, it's not fun. You get called up in public. But at the same time, it's important. But it's so hard to get people to volunteer and do it. And right now we have, you know, two city council members that are sitting on the EDC board. And it's really, you know, all we're trying to do is trying to figure out how EDC can spend money on the fire truck. Why not just give all that money to city council and you guys just pay the bills, right? So the question I had for Ryan is, will we walk away from any revenue by doing that? And what would be the pros and cons to walking away from the EDC? It seems like the other thing that we do is we spend a lot of money on just administration of the EDC. And it seems like this would just be one of those things that would eliminate a lot of headaches.
We talked about this at the last council meeting, I think. And
this has come up periodically.
Well, Ryan, well, Ryan's got some information on that tax.
Yeah, it's not a loss or not a complete loss, depending on exactly how you do it. So
it doesn't go into the general fund.
Well, you have a 2% max tax rate for sales tax that you're allowed to charge, and it kind of gets divided up, and a quarter cent or an eighth cent is by election is what goes to EDC. You can redistribute it to another type of fund. It can be a street maintenance fund. It can be a...
We already have that.
Yeah, I know. But example-wise, you would have to have the ability to put it to one of those other funds. It becomes dedicated for that, but then you don't have to use the general funds for those types of things. So it wouldn't be a complete loss, but your ability to put it in different places doesn't automatically go into the general fund. Normally, you got to find one of the other restricted funds to put it into, but it's still that it would be under the control of the city council at that point. It just depends on exactly, you know, how you would do it. And
it's still restricted.
It is still restricted. The thing is, what you would be doing is, like, on the fire bay aspects, you wouldn't be able to use it on that and Triangle Park aspects because it'd be restricted to whatever fund it's assigned to. I'm trying to see if there's a way that if you did it, I think you would have to do it by election.
Yeah.
But I think that we would, I don't want to make any promises. The easiest kind of the default way would be it goes into another restricted fund.
Could it be an economic development fund?
That's one of the things I'm looking at. There may be a way to do it and free it up so the council's the one that makes the decisions regarding it and you have a bigger, broader brush.
Excuse me, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
The recording is stopped.
Thank you.
Sorry.
But the short answer is that is a little gray at the moment. So you could potentially, you won't lose it all, but you would restrict it in a way that the EDC is not restricted. But the EDC is restricted in different ways. So it's kind of pick your poison.
But we're already maxed out on the street fund.
Yeah.
We're already maxed out on the venue fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the EDC. I mean, what other funds are there that we could, it would be transferred to? It would have to go a vote.
Yes. So what procedurally what would happen is they're basically three ways to dispose or dissolve the EDC. The normal way, the conservative way, is you have another election. And so the election disposes of the EDC and reattributes the taxes at the same time. But you have to wait to an election and the electorate has to vote for it. The other way is the council can't actually dissolve it, but you can't reassign the taxes until the next election.
So that tax.
So that time frame, you lose that potential revenue.
Can it go in May's election, or is that too soon?
That's way too soon. Okay. That's way too soon. Your time frame to actually declare it and bring it forward, I think, would be February 7th, and I don't think we've done any of the things that would be necessary.
If you think it's something we should do, Patrick does these surveys. Should we ask the entire residential community what they think of EDC, or is that something we need to do here? I know there's a couple of guys that have complained about
it. As it is. I mean, it's a revenue stream that's coming in. You know, you don't know what you're going to get if you...
The issue is we don't have participation. It's been that way for 3 years.
They're still getting the money. The money's more important than participation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know when Andy's here, and Mike Drury and Tom, and I mean, they had meetings when Mike showed up, and they had to call it because they didn't have a quorum. I mean, we tried to push civic duty, and, you know, we've got to be able to have people there, and if you're not going to show up, what good's it do? I mean, we're spending money on Ryan, Mike and Ryan, no offense, but... When they have to go home because we don't have a quorum, that's a tough deal.
I think the solution to that is just make a bigger push to get people.
One other question: what about the EDC just met quarterly? Do they have to meet monthly?
No, they do not have to meet monthly.
So what if they meet quarterly? Do you think we get more participation in a quarterly meeting as opposed to a monthly meeting?
I thought one of the questions about that is what are we allowed to do outside of the meeting? In other words, the idea was we could meet, because I think we talked about this, but then the question was, okay, we have something to move on, but we can't do it until the meeting, but the meeting is on the court. The quarterly is actually a good idea, but the question became, what can we do outside of the meeting to progress?
So you have your little subcommittees, and then if you're ready to vote on something, something's ready to go, you call a special meeting. And then y'all meet whether it's quarter, whether the quarter is there or not.
But that was one of the questions, because we brought this up both the last and the past 2 weeks that was brought up. It was just a question to say, what are we, are we considering that? Are we meeting too much, or are we, what are we getting done?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The EDC usually gets around $150,000 a year, and they're part of the tax. Mm-hmm. So is there a way, without getting rid of the EDC, but making it to where that 0.25% that we would lose if we didn't have them, or whatever the correct number is, percentage, that would go there and the rest of it would go into the general, or it can never go to the general fund?
I think you're maxed out on the sales tax percentage for the general. That's why it's got to go into another restricted fund. But I'm looking into what other kind of out of the box options we can think of that will still work to see if it's something that can the council can have control of that money with as little restriction as possible.
Okay, can the EDC have a quarterly meeting? Bring the ideas to council, and the council make the final decision, or does EDC have to make a decision?
EDC technically does have to make the decision. The council approves the funding afterwards.
Okay. Well, like Andy was mentioning, what if we just went to council, and they could say, okay, look, this is what we're going to do, bring it to council, and then go with it. And I'm just trying...
We could set up a process that covered both elements. The interesting thing for the EDC is, if you met quarterly, there is a provision that actually allows EDCs only to do votes by email in the interim time period, but then they have to be ratified at your quarterly meeting. But it's very, I'll say it's limited, but for what you guys normally do, I don't think it would be, I think it might be something you could utilize in the meantime to send stuff to the council and the council to take action on it. But it would be up to the EDC if you want to do that.
I think
that is an option.
My overall goal in getting rid of the EDC would be to create some sort of harmony in the city. I feel like the HPCA is very important to the city, whereas a lot of people don't feel like they're very important to the city. And, that's just one example, but every EDC that I'm aware of has had headbutt moments or fought with council since I've lived here. And to me, it doesn't help any kind of harmony in the city. And man, I'd love to for us all to get along and do great things and make Hollywood Park fantastic. But when we constantly are building these, you know, rifts to fight, it seems like just not making sense. And then on top of that, can't get people to volunteer, and then half the people are mad because there's conflicts of interest on with city council members working on the EDC, but that's kind of what it comes down to. We don't have enough people apply, right? So it just makes more sense to just, if we can make sure we don't lose the revenue, but just let city council run and do everything. And they're the ones that have to talk to them. No one knows what the EDC does. No one hardly ever talks to them. The only people that know what the EDC does is people that have already served on the EDC, right? That's the only people I ever talk to that know what we do. So,
well, my thought on that too, and you're right to that degree, and just for the record, I financially supported HPCA for a very long time until recently. Dwayne, you mentioned something about the projects, and if the projects aren't that many and you can do one or two a quarter, just focus on the one or two. I mean, I think a lot of times what happens is, well, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, and it kind of gets diluted with time. You don't have the manpower to do four and five or six projects. So we could focus on one or two projects within that quarter, bring it to council, and then just kind of get a couple of steps at a time. Just get this done, this done, and this done. Because how many projects really does EDC have to do? We don't have a whole lot more commercial space that we can rent out. I mean, Manny's done work, and there's a lot of units available, but they're not big money-making units. Does that support EDC? All these little ones, is it bringing enough? Justify? Yeah, justify having to do that. But if we can focus on getting one or two smaller projects or bigger projects done and just stick to it, like Triangle Park. You know, for a project to take 3.5 years is crazy. It shouldn't have to take that
long. Though, Triangle Park has been a victim of that lack of communication.
Right.
We have moved forward on it. Since I've been here, we're going to move forward. Oh, we have to wait for this. Oh, we have to move forward. We have to wait. And it's like, you know, it took us forever just to get $500 to get something.
Well, let me ask this. Should we get somebody on Triangle Park as a contractor or a project manager outside so we can take that away from keeping it in sight of the EDC or the council?
They bring, I wouldn't be able to speak to that.
Right? Can we do that and get somebody else to bring us the entire project?
Cover that with Mike.
Well, what? What Andy had mentioned was getting an RFQ for what's called a design build. So that's basically one person, he's a contractor, he comes in, he designs it, he builds it, he moves forward with it, he takes care of it. If you arrange the RFQ properly, the EDC basically funds it and then turns the obligation of watching over the contractor over to the city council. And then the city council is the one that manages, that takes care of it. They funded it, they brought them in, and then they hand them over to you.
And that project manager would manage the entire project till its completion.
That's what the design build option is
from
for.
EDC or council. They fund the project, they manage it, they build it, finish it.
No, they would, once approved by the EDC, it would go to the council to approve the funding, and then at that point, the funding is there.
It's committed.
The contractor just reports to city admin with regard to their process, but council would still need to periodically approve, you know, the any change orders or stuff like that.
Well, as much answering this question, as it's currently set up, so like with the septic system, and we do an RFQ, we get the contractor out there and they're working, and the city council signs off on the approval of funds for it. Who is administering that contract right now when that happens? Is it the EDC that administers it, or is it the city council who's administering it?
It depends on how it gets set up. So it could be set up normally. Either way. But normally what would happen would be the EDC would get your approval for the project. Then they would actually watch over who's managing it. So in a design build concept, the one that comes in is the project manager designing it, building it, doing all that stuff. They're the ones that are getting the progress reports and cutting the checks.
Okay, so if I'm understanding what I'm hearing correctly, though, that's part of the problem. Is we don't have the manpower in the EDC to actually manage contracts through. That's where am I understanding that right? So if we could utilize the EDC to function merely as a selection process, here are the projects, get them approved, then hand off the management of that contract or that project over to city council, that way there's not so much burden put on the EDC to function as an administrative unit.
Yeah, and like I said, it can be set up exactly that way.
That would make sense to me. That way your revenue is protected. You don't have to have the manpower and the constant attention of EDC to manage the projects through, because now that's out of the city council. And the city council, of course, is kicking it out to their departments to manage it and go.
That's what I was going to say. To me, it's a public works.
Yeah.
He works with all
the other but it's a city council, though, because we're here anyway. We're going to be here once a month. You've got city employees who are on the payroll, and you just task them. This is your job. This is a contract. You go administer this contract with Oversight City Council. And that way, EDC can function as this quarterly opportunity, and then not be shouldered or yoked with, oh, now I've got to see this project all the way through, which they're not really set up to do.
And that's,
that would make
been
sense
part
to
of
me.
The problem, because Tom and Mike Drury wanted to run the project. Well, everybody works, and that's really not their specialty. And you're running a project on city land, and you needed a city employee doing it. And the city employee would then bring it to the council each month to say,
yeah, here's how we're doing. The EDC has done its job. It's handed it off to the city council, and they're on to the next project, the next opportunity with the revenue stream.
And that's how the street projects are done.
Yeah.
You know, they're done the same way. Kelly comes back to us with the engineer. He finds out what he needs to know and gives us a report on that, and it could be done the same way.
Because I would tell you, if I was just on EDC, it would be a burden to go, okay, we've got to watch this contractor, we've got to do quality control on him, make sure he's doing what he's doing, make sure the checks are cut, make sure, we're going to hold on to this until the project's completed. That's a lot of oversight if you've got, start getting four or five projects
going. And that's exactly what we said, was like, we don't need to be doing that, that's why we're going to hire that out, right? But the point that I think everybody's missing is, this is correct. The mayor is the executive director. So he can override anything that EDC does. That's my bigger gripe, is that before I was president, we had things put on the agenda without our knowledge last minute. And we've had things taken off that were supposed to be on the agenda. Without our approval. And so the EDC serves no function. And so what you're asking people, other than maybe their patsy, to bring in a little extra tax revenue. So if we're going to keep the EDC, we should eliminate the executive director role so there truly is a separation of powers and the EDC can really work autonomously.
But I thought you were just saying, and I don't know, I've only been part of the EDC for two meetings so far, but you're saying you're not getting enough participation in the EDC to get that done.
I mean, it seems like to me...
I mean, that's how you proposed it.
So. From an efficiency perspective, I'd get rid of it. Just because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because it is it's really just an extension of city council with no power.
Okay, so if we keep the EDC, you actually want to detach it from mayoral oversight. But outside of that, just don't do it because it's got mayoral oversight.
Yes,
that's where you're coming.
Yeah, and I think that might be why people don't want to participate is because it ends up being the city council checkbook anyway, right?
It's interesting because we're talking about impressions we have, but one of the issues that came up with city council was trying to get EDC participants. Where EDC didn't just become a checkbook for the city, but actually performed the function of driving sales tax revenue and actually helping the businesses. So, I'm trying to weed out the reality from people's impression of what happened, because what you're saying you object to is actually something that Oscar and the city council goes, we need the EDC to function separate from us in regards to not having, have mayoral oversight, but be more than a checkbook, actually come up with projects, actually be meeting with business owners, actually driving that part of the park so that revenue stream is maximized.
Sean, the prior mayor used EDC for check writing.
Okay.
And that's where he's coming off with it. I mean, it was like, during the budget, it'd be like, the fire department say we need some bunker gear, take it to EDC. So that's where Andy's gotten his opinion. Where
okay.
I do know you and Oscar and I don't remember who else have spoke about spending some money to get, I'm going to just call it a headhunter, to bring businesses in.
Yeah.
So this group does have a different perspective than the previous mayor.
Okay.
That's where I need to come up with this.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to understand what's going on, so.
But it also goes to what Andy said about how many projects are there really available for you to do to function in the capacity of functioning in? I mean, it seems like we're doing a lot of little stuff. Does that justify having an EDC and having all the meetings and trying to, you know, got $500,000 sitting in the account? How many more projects can we do to try to spend money? And it's not like Brian said and Debbie said also, just because we have it there, bells and whistles, doesn't mean we need to spend it, but we've got to justify, why is it just sitting there? We're not doing anything with it. And I believe we've had over $500,000 now for well over a year.
I don't have a problem with it sitting there as long as...
Well, it's got to be doing something than just sitting there.
Well,
there's several different, there's different types of projects.
Right.
If when you say big or little, technically EDC is not going to do big, big projects all the time.
Correct.
We're going to do more things like restaurant week. We're going to do more things like promotional stuff. We're going to do more things like, for lack of a better word, dinner, you know, gatherings.
Sure.
But if we're tasked to do quasi-municipal projects, that's when, and I'm sorry, Triangle Park is a quasi-municipal project.
Sure.
Okay. If we're tasked to do that, then, yeah, we say, okay, we're good to go this. Mike Molina goes out, he gets all the stuff going, and then it just sits there. And then the new mayor comes in and says, well, why aren't you guys doing this? Well, here's all the stuff. Yeah, we, trust me, Triangle Park, that's been...
You mentioned that at the last ADC meeting.
Everybody's been talking about Triangle Park since I've been on this.
But it's never come to us.
Because we get to a certain stage, we're not allowed to go this direction. We go to what do we want to do? You talked about where the facilities should go. The facilities are going to go where they have to go because of geography, not because of where we like it. And then we have a discussion about that. That's not what EDC should be doing.
I think
that's something the city council should be doing. Now, if it's a lack of funds, turn it to the consigliaries and they can decide how we can move things around into different areas so we're not in trouble. EDC, in my opinion, the way I thought it was, when I first got there and started talking about trying to park, I said, why are we talking about that?
I agree with you totally. I took it to council and I said, the city needs to just pay for this. Just get it done. And, you know, but it depends
and
on the
And then
you
EDC
have
could come along and try to get organizations, businesses, events in Triangle Park. What has happened is we've been tasked to put the facilities up and then maybe somewhere down the line get to Frisbee or golf or whatever the different events we were talking about, which is what I thought EDC was supposed to do.
So Ryan, can council take this project over? Triangle Park.
Take over the, yeah.
They can pay for it.
Yes.
Sure. How do you feel about it?
Pay for it with ARPA funds.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we just found out about the ARPA funds. Well, smile so big.
Well, based on this issue, since it's already something that's EDC approved and they've now, if they've just handed off city council, then we can still use EDC funds for that opportunity because it's done. I mean, on the next municipal.
EDC has to vote on that first.
Okay.
Yeah, they're still putting together the full project to give you, but if they do that, and they do it in like the design build way you're talking about, they can arrange it so that it's just handed off to council at that point.
Yeah.
Yes, that can be done.
But they
still have to finish the legwork. And then
but our future project's going to come down like this because I hear landscaping. That's not EDC.
No.
I personally have never wanted, my goal and my thought on EDC has always been exactly what it means. Economic development for commercial businesses. Not all the little, let's see if I can get around this wall, let's see if I can do this, and try to squeeze them in here and see if I can get this by. I don't want EDC to be a checkbook. It should never be a checkbook for city projects. This town is very healthy. We should be able to provide our own infrastructure, our own buildings, through the city council and through our general funds. We shouldn't be throwing EDC under the bus just because they have $500,000 sitting there. Now, with the exception of, I support the fire truck, because that's a huge, huge deal. But now, if we can support the bay, that's going back to what you're saying they shouldn't be doing, supporting the bay.
When I hear economic development, that to me is different than municipal infrastructure.
Okay. I like Andy's idea of decorating for Christmas. The entrances here, the businesses, I think that We put a festive kick to it. We did the restaurant week. We gave money to the HPCA for the National Night Out. I think it should be stuff like that. And then, like you said, where we could pitch in and help pay some tax money or something, or whatever that is that you had spoke to them about, bringing some tax revenue in instead of someone that didn't pay tax to their rental property, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
if you look at the website, you look at our mission statement, mission and goals. A large portion of it is build a sense of community and build a value proposition for living in Hollywood Park. So a lot of that has to do with the residential component. But in the traditional sense of an economic development corporation in other cities, it's to get more revenue to the city and build business. And really, our focus now on the board is we switched gears to where we do have somebody that's on residential outreach. We do have a committee that's on business outreach. And then I also think we have a large function of PR. And so we have a PR committee. And so the idea behind that is to tell the world what we're doing. Tell the rest of the community outside of Hollywood Park about Hollywood Park. So when we buy a fire truck for $1.5 million, we go out and advertise that, right? And we're on the nightly news bragging about how freaking awesome we are, instead of just doing it and keeping it a little secret. And so that's what we really are focusing on right now at the EDC. Can I suggest that we go ahead and start asking the rest of the board mm-hmm. their ideas on projects?
Yeah.
And start with Dwayne?
If you'll read item D, please.
Okay, item D. Presentation of current additional strategic initiatives and projects for potential adoption by Hollywood Park Economic Development Corporation that to include all EDC members. Your input, please.
So really, first of all, I want to say I completely agree with Dwayne that our mission is very black and white. It isn't gray. I know in December at my first meeting, Andy, you mentioned that and I had to write it down because I was really surprised, that the EDC monies can be used and was very flexible and you felt you could get anything to work in the guidelines. And I don't feel that way. I think the mission statements are very broad, but not the actual law. So I'm more wanting to see how we can bring in more businesses, retain the businesses. So with that in mind, something as simplistic as, I think on Hollywood Park's website, there's a list of all of the businesses. I think it has an email address, but it's probably not current. So even if we broke our committee up into a business district, like each of us have either a big building, a business district, a center, and then we reach out to whether it be the owner or the leasing agent, whoever the point of contact would be, hopefully the owner, because then we're also representing the town of Hollywood Park and saying, what can we do to help you? You know, your tenant's giving notice that they're leaving in 2 months. Great, we'll help you try to find a tenant. So we will be knowing before the place is actually vacant that someone's leaving. Then we would also find out who the new tenants are. If we reach out to these people every month, then we can try to promote these new businesses to get people in, because when a new business starts, if they don't have business, they can be gone in 2 months. I mean, some of these places are closing down so fast. We could do pop-up visits with these businesses. You know, when they're doing their grand opening, you know, show up as an EDC council for the grand opening of this business. Take pictures, have it on the website. So those are just some simple things to try to not go like, I think I saw an opening in this second floor building. You know, we will actually know if we would reach out with these people every month. That was my thought.
I have a question on that, Ryan. Can EDC pay or give them some sort of tax abatement, a new tenant?
The EDC cannot by itself give a tax abatement. That becomes kind of a negotiated aspect where the EDC kind of preps everything and then requests the council to give them a tax abatement. Only the council can abate taxes.
Can they be given some sort of a
Can they pay their first month rent?
Council.
Council also.
Can we do a forgivable loan?
There is a way that the EDC can do that kind of stuff.
Here's an easy way, as long as EDC can do this, is a lot of these times, in not necessarily Galleria, but you'd have to walk around, is with so many vacancies that have popped up, a lot of times landlords are not initially employing brokers to move that. They're sitting with it, they're trying to do it themselves. I thought the whole time, depending on how many vacancies you got, and if the property managers or the property owners not moving on it, go, hey, why don't we will help you pay your brokerage commissions. You'll get this out of market, you'll get this out of LoopNet, so we can get it filled. Mm-hmm. That could be some way that the EDC could actually give money directly to the property owner, the landlord, to go, hey, you make it conditional, you put it out with a broker, you just let it sit set for 6 months. Can we help you get this going? He goes, well, I don't want to pay, the 7% or the 4.5% or whatever for a 5-year contract. Okay, let the EDC offset half of that for you if you'll just go get it leased. That's always seemed to be kind of a no-brainer, but maybe it's not. Maybe.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why it's not a no-brainer. It's a great idea. The problem is you don't know if that revenue is going to keep coming in. So by doing the forgivable loan concept, same general way of moving the money around, you give them a forgivable loan normally for tenant improvement loans, and you actually give it to the tenant instead of the landlord paying the TI. That way, you put parameters on what the business has to do in order to get that loan forgiven. If they don't do those things, then they owe the money back.
So the landlord would go to a tenant and go, hey, EDC is willing to help you with the TNI.
Right.
If you'll go, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That works too.
And then, like I said, you put parameters on that business of employing new people and a certain amount of hours you're open.
Or it's just it's a lot, large volume of sales tax for a new business. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Now, we did something for Purple Garlic and for Starbucks.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what
Starbucks, the EDC helped pay for the initial demolition and site clearing so that they could actually build the rest on their own. Purple Garlic.
I don't recall.
I'm not sure. I mean, they did something. I'm not remembering exactly off the top of my head.
With that.
But it was, I think it was maybe the banners or the advertising. And did some stuff for their grand opening, but it wasn't so much about the leasing
to the kitchen or something.
You did. The EDC did help with clearing out the old stuff and helping them kind of do some renovations on the interior. What Andy's talking about with the forgivable loan mechanism, and that's a more of a traditional EDC function that they use and a carrot that brings people in. And that's certainly something that we could use to incentivize either the landlord or the tenants to come in. They just have to come up with the parameters of what they want to do for the project.
Can we do both? Can we incentivize the landlord or give them a commission to bring in the tenant with a carrot to the tenant?
Yes, there is a way.
That way they're both benefiting from it.
Yeah, there is a way to do it
yeah.
If the EDC wants to fund that project. It becomes like a hand-in-hand dual project, but
the
yes,
EDC
they can do that.
And evaluate them on a case-by-case
yes.
opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that
I
is permitted.
You and I have our experience.
Yeah.
Do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff
yeah.
to do with that, yeah.
Now, this is changing the subject. When y'all spoke about the mission statement, I don't know who created that, if that was created when EDC was created. Can that be something that can be changed?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
It doesn't seem to be like anybody's thrilled with our mission statement.
I believe that was created about 3 presidents ago. And it was created by the president and then approved by the board at that time. But it's up to...
It needed to be updated.
Yeah, but before that, it was like a couple decades old.
Sure, you can
so,
update
it.
So we still have another decade before you touch it?
Yeah, but you'd be progressive and do it early.
I'd be open to talking about that at the next meeting if we want to refocus on what our mission should be.
Well, because it seems like we want to go towards business, so that would kind of leave the community part out.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea we get that done. And, we've had that candidate forum this weekend, and we had about 36 people there. And I pushed and pushed and called everybody I know. I know the population here is changing pretty fast. New house sales are going to a lot of younger kids. I don't know how I say kids because I'm old already, but there, you know, when you get a 40-year-old coming in here buying a $300,000 to $400,000 house, I mean, at 40 years old, I was just happy to get a house. And it's dual incomes, but we're getting a lot of young people, and I'd love to see a good new crowd come in and take over on council, EDC, and be more civically involved. And I think that's where the lack of enthusiasm comes. They just aren't interested.
They're busy.
They are. Well, they are busy. They are busy. So with that said, we're left with the group we have here.
So I'll also say that when I moved in to Holiday Park, I was here about a year, and I ran for city council. And you know, I'm an attorney, and I have some clients that people don't like, and so I got kind of some nasty slandering stuff going around via email. I didn't want to be involved in anything at all, just because of that, because it was stuff people didn't really even know. They weren't speaking on it with their own knowledge. It was just on what they had read on the internet, and never gave me a chance to even, you know, respond to them in person. And I was like, why would anybody want to be involved in this? So we've got to build a community where people want to get involved, and a big part of that is having a more positive message as a group, and calling those people out that are negative and say, hey, that's not helpful, right? And I think we can all do that. I don't see why we can't, but yeah, I didn't want to be involved in anything. So it took me another 8 years before I got involved.
If I can, at the forum, we did have a pretty good turnout for that first one. We had about half of those people turn in applications for different boards, EDC being included in some of those. I just looked through them on Monday, but we had applicants and some new people. There was a lot of people I knew, but definitely a lot of people there I didn't know. That's promising. It was good to have that, so because there are people moving in and out of Hollywood Park, but they also didn't know about those opportunities. So that was a really great time to be able to speak to them about different committees and responsibilities, including the EDC and what it does, what it is. And so got a few applications for that. Whenever that time comes up, that's usually in the fall, obviously. So anyway.
Neil, I know I ruffle a lot of feathers, but in my heart, I know I need to do what's right because I put a new hat on. Sitting up there in the middle with the hat on, my goal is, and I've told Ryan this and everybody, I've got to represent the city 100% of the town. I don't pick anybody, I don't favor anybody. I've got to do what's best for the entire community. The motto when I ran was, I'm going to represent 100% of the community, not the loudest few. So me being up there, I don't have the luxury to have personal opinions on things. I don't get a vote, but I have to try to direct the city and the council to do the right thing. And it may not be popular with everybody, as all you know. I've got very thick skin, and I don't get offended by much at all. So that's my thought.
Can I not offend you now, Mayor, and ask you to get back on the agenda?
Item E.
What do we see?
E.
Unless you'll have more on
E.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if
y'all
want to go again.
No, I think I already said that.
I think y'all got it.
I know to contribute.
Y'all want
to. The only thing I would say is I'm part of the business outreach, and I think we need an EDC newsletter to go out there. Or if we go quarterly, go quarterly. Because I guarantee you, you talked about doing a survey. I guarantee most people don't even know EDC exists.
Let's oh, sure, do. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I know that if we're going to connect with these businesses, they need to know we're here.
Okay, first and foremost, do we have any kind of a current mailing or access?
I had one soft, I think I had one Excel spreadsheet, and there was a soft list, like a paper list. But we're still trying to collect that up. It's not the easiest thing to do.
No, I know.
Yeah, we've fought on that. I would say we did Restaurant Week. The restaurants were very difficult to work with initially because they just didn't believe us that we were going to be helpful. And then by the time it was all said and done, they were all very excited. And they one thing that they said was how professional the promotion was done. And so we were able to utilize the billboards to advertise Restaurant Week. And so the restaurants now understand we're really here to help them. We've got a lot of other businesses that we need to do that for as well. But it was difficult because the businesses, I will say there was one restaurant that said, Hollywood Park's never done a damn thing for me. And didn't want to participate. guess you can all figure who out who that one was. But at the end of the day, they knew, they saw what we did, and I think they'll be on board next year. I like your newsletter idea.
One thing I wanted to say, and I'm apologizing to the EDC. Part of my job is to do the Facebook, and I have not kept up with that, and I'm going to start pushing the I still need to put our pictures from the parade. I've got them all there on my phone. I just need to put those on the EDC website. And I did promote the Restaurant Week with the San Antonio Restaurant Association and all the other stuff, but I will keep up with the Facebook page there.
Is that something Patrick can help with? I'm not throwing any more jobs on you, but from a social media perspective, you did a great job, but we need more bodies on that, and hopefully somebody a little more full-time, although I think you're on
way
more than
most. I live on Facebook.
Yeah, and there used to be a software, I can't remember the name of it, like Hootsuite, maybe?
Uh-huh, that's it. That's
where you could
post to one, it goes to all of them.
Post up all the networks. Maybe we could get a software package subscription like that for you, so where you could post all at one time in all the places.
What's it called?
Hootsuite.
Why are we separating? Why don't we just have Hollywood Park? And then if it's an EDC,
sure.
EDC should be an arm of the town.
You're right, and I see you're very much see that, yeah. And there's an EDC, there's a city page, there's a police page, and there's a fire page, as far as Facebook goes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the city website itself has all of that. So it's, we're still kind of figuring out how to
consolidate all that so that we get more.
Yeah, that's possible.
I can see separating police and fire.
Right.
But we just agreed earlier, EDC is essentially a function of the city council. We should be on Hollywood Park. We don't need our
right. It's possible.
Okay, that was E. Any other comments? Michael?
Can you read E? I didn't think.
Anything else you have to say to that?
No, I tell you, this is my first shot at EDC, and so I find this fascinating. As everybody keeps a cool head, but no, I'm getting a bigger picture, so I haven't got a lot to input. I'm taking a lot more out than I'm putting in.
Okay, no problem. All right.
You know.
Anybody else say anything on that? Let's go to E then. Correct?
Uh-huh.
Presentation of current and additional economic development strategic initiatives and potential projects by the public. Do we have any public?
Did Tanya leave? Okay. She had none. All right.
So,
that's all of us.
Andy, no, there's no citizens' comments.
So F.
And
for the discussion on G?
G.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how y'all want to tackle that. There are a lot of great ideas. One of my thoughts was, do y'all want to take a few priorities, or one, or two, or all of them, and prioritize them? Or y'all definitely did. I mean, talked about recruitment and retainment versus, you know, a project like Triangle Park. And then, of course, there's some others, but those two definitely stood out to me. But I don't know if that's what y'all want to even do, or just further discussion.
Do we want to make a priority on what you want to do?
Pick a priority.
Just pick a priority.
Well, I think it sounds like Andy's already working on that way, but I'd like to get with REOC and the landlords and see what we can do.
Or two. Okay.
Do we want to go ahead and see how we can do the abatements or some sort of?
Well, no, I think hanging the T and I carrot out is a really good idea.
And I've already communicated that with Cynthia. That's how,
and she's with REOC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So and the other guy, like Hans, I think is the other one. He got ill recently, so he hadn't been in a while. But she's been kind of taking the lead. She was always kind of the lead broker anyway.
Yeah.
But they're 100% leased up, so I want to look at that other space over there on Chula Vista.
Okay.
I would love for that animal hospital to be torn down and turned into a Chick-fil-A too. So
I would think. Well, like, how much business is that Taco Cabana actually doing anymore? turn that into a Chick-fil-A.
It seems to be pretty busy when they're open.
Okay, with that said, the project we're talking about is great, and I love that idea, but we got to get legal to write it up first so we can present it as y'all go on to present it, correct?
You guys decide what parameters we'll put into the legal thing to, of what you can legally do, and then they'll vote on it and give it and present it to council. But that's that type of project, they need to define the parameters of what they want to offer as an incentivized or forgivable loan aspect, and we put that into the resolution, and then that they approve it, and then that would come to you.
I just told Cynthia, I said, I would say anything's on the table.
Yeah,
bring some presentation if you want it.
Yeah.
If you got really, what happens is these brokers have somebody come in and they come with their objections. Like, we want to do it, but we don't have the TI. We need $28 for TI. I'm like, no, this is third generation space. We're going to give you $10. And if that's the hang up, bring it to us.
Bring it to
us.
Help
you make it happen. So
especially if she will then target people like Chick-fil-A and those kind of opportunities. That Starbucks land was a great land. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
TNI is for tenant improvements. It's just something to incentivize the tenant to come in here. Look, we're going to give you this much TNI for this space. What you need. That's what it is.
Okay.
He calls it a forgivable loan. Same deal.
Yeah. So the fun thing is honestly just reaching out to them and telling them we were interested in helping. They've been able to relay that to their potential tenants. It's already helped. Just let them know that we care. We'll continue to try to get more people. And we could switch Adolfo on a committee over to community outreach, or if we redo our mission statement. We could change it up and have you and Dwayne do the business outreach, and then we could do it from that aspect.
Sure. Yeah.
The goal behind those committees is so that two of you can work outside of meetings together on a sole focus of whatever that committee focuses on. And then if you need help from me as the president, you come to me. We're still, that's three, that's not a quorum, and we can have those conversations all day. So I think we can do a lot if you're interested in
sure, absolutely.
So I think a priority for us, Dwayne, needs to be change our mission statement.
Okay.
And maybe, Ryan, if you're okay with it, figure out how we can send that around via email.
Yeah.
So we can do that now and not wait for me. Let's get the mission statement switched.
Okay. One other thing we can do, we have a gentleman sitting here by the name of Edmund Ortiz, who writes for a local community paper. And I think he'd probably love to put that in there when he writes his article on Hollywood Park. As far as he gets, and I don't know what your readership is like, but is that something you'd be able to put in there for us?
I'm not sure. I mean, whatever is the main theme that comes out of this meeting.
He's looking for something to write all the time.
Like you found some stuff tonight, right?
Yeah. Nah, well, it's part of the game.
Andy, if I can comment on the TNI, the forgivable loan. Aspects, you can do them like on a project by project basis, but it's usually more efficient and faster if you guys create kind of standards. You create a program with the standards, and then you delegate, you know, once they come in, what kind of automatically gets processed if they have checked off all the boxes and met all the standards. So you can, but you have to create the standards first. And so if you do that, you don't have to necessarily go every single time for every single thing. You've got certain things that are kind of automatic, and then certain things where, I mean, if it's big enough, it would have to go to council. But if you create as a project where they do an application, and then you just kind of put in there the ability to, whatever they would normally ask for that you'd be willing to fund, you make it as part of the standards. And it makes it really easy.
We did that. We can advertise it on the website too.
Yeah,
exactly. And then just tell them, hey.
But it makes it efficient in processing, and you don't have to have as many meetings with it.
We already put together an application for the billboards, so we have a way of standard. If you want to go to the billboards, fill this out. If you're interested in a forgivable loan, fill this out, and then we can say, okay, they check this, and this.
How's the billboards working out? We finally got that off. I mean, are they receptive?
Is it?
I mean, that's something you can also offer.
I haven't got anything.
The billboard application, we approved it last
year. Actually, that's always been under question, I thought.
What's that?
What we were able to do with the billboards, because it's...
It was, well, it's a city space.
Yeah. So when you say we have access, that's another one of those that needs to be defined, I believe, on city council and before it comes to us.
Because it's the city's contract.
Okay.
And so, but there wasn't anything formally done to delegate that to the EDC.
Why is that, Mike?
That's with you guys, that's with city council.
Well, is that where...
I mean, that's city council.
There's board. A way we can fix that.
It's okay, we can fix that.
Okay.
Is that where Patrick would be assigned a task and EDC would just say, this week we would like to use this restaurant up there or something?
Yeah. So the EDC approves which ones are going to... Which applications are approved, and then it's basically a permission request that goes to Patrick that would actually put it up. All right.
I think our application was, like, literally it's almost first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. I don't see mm-hmm. us ever turning it.
Well, there are some... Well, under your contract, there are a couple of restrictions, but have to make sure those
are... The ones we were offered to, yeah. It's not like Starbucks can't do it, but so, I mean, we're offered to... It's really a matter of we can't give you that day because someone else has it, you get the next day.
Have to be business.
I didn't see us, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, ever turning anyone down because they already fit those parameters you were talking about.
Okay.
On the project that you mentioned where you could get like a satellite office where they did the sales of, for example, the golf course or something, could we do like some kind of rental incentive where we paid a portion of the rent? For them to get someone in there to do that?
I was thinking that was going to be more of a tax rebate situation where we would have to come to city council and offer them some sort of tax rebate or abatement. I don't know what the word is for you.
Abatement, so, yeah.
It'd be a question I would take to Ryan once we get down the road. I wanted to really plant the seed. I originally planted it in Oscar and Tom's head, and we've been talking about it for 18 months, just don't know what the right steps are. We've had some other priorities, so I would love to move that one to the top of the list, but now that everybody's knows the idea, what could we do to make that happen? Start thinking about different sales organizations that we could bring in here that we could incentivize to come to Lion Park. And I'm sitting there thinking, it could be a $200,000-$300,000 swing to some people, depending on the kind of sales they have. But it's just a matter of
who it is. Yeah, the cheap part of that would be actually incentivizing the brokers who've got the relationships with them to bring them to.
Right.
Yeah.
And we should, it's more about identifying a company and then go and
absolutely. Yeah, go bring them in. That's cheap. That's cheap compared to doing a tax abatement.
That's right.
But I'd also mention, especially since you talked about incorporating the home businesses, there are some home businesses that probably qualify for paying the sales tax, but because of the way it's reported with the comptroller, they're actually going to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And so you want to find a good way to incentivize participating in programs from the EDC that kind of bring that to light and let them know how to properly attribute the sales tax to Hollywood.
What about people that have a business in Hollywood Park that operate out of their house, but they use a private mailbox, let's say in Stone Oak, and it's in San Antonio, technically it's their mailing address. Would we want to be able to reclassify that?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
That's what I was hoping to do. And maybe we can help those people with their businesses because
exactly.
In Hollywood Park. Yeah.
What counts?
But that would be a deal for the EDC newsletter, too, and the website.
Where the sales go through.
Let's reclass you to Hollywood Park. Just constantly.
We're not communicating.
Yeah, we're not getting that done. Yeah.
We can sit here and say, we have this, yeah. But we're not really communicating that to the point that Andy said, people who are restaurant people.
I mean, that's all low-hanging fruit. We need to get it.
Okay, so that's the discussion part. What about that? We have a hot list. We want to kind of go with a brief hot list of what's the first thing we want to do.
How fast could we work on the SAWS water pricing?
That will take time.
That will take a while.
Yeah.
Do we know anybody that writes for a media outlet that could talk about it?
and not editorializing, but yeah, I would agree with Mr. Henry and the mayor. That doesn't take great.
They're not incentivized.
So let's talk about how to incentivize them, I guess.
Let's have a discussion after the meeting. I have an idea, but you'll have to do some extra legwork.
Yeah.
it's going to be.
What about, okay, so let's go with the Triangle Park. Can we put that as number one?
Absolutely.
Okay. Seems to be more pressing.
Okay, number two, can we use, what's number two? What would you like to put number two? This is EDC.
EDC mission statement.
Okay.
That should be number one,
because
y'all can get that knocked out
at
night.
Well, we need to get Triangle Park out of the way.
We can.
What about number three? We have a number three.
Is it?
An active, correct list of every business.
Okay. Current business, commercial business
agency,
list.
Agency, point of contact.
What do you want to put, Andy, Sean, what do you want to put that incentivization for? Tenant landlord.
Well, if I get permission, I'm going to go and start talking to the brokers I know.
Yeah, I'd like to see what kind of vacancies we have.
Does React just manage the galleries at all they manage?
Just galleries.
Okay, and they're full then.
Yes.
Okay, with that said, what are we proposing then? I mean, are we going to have a unified proposal on what we're doing with those, or do we go on
it first? I personally need to contact the brokers, the ones I know. And we need that business list, and I need to go walk all the properties and actually see what their situation is. Some of them have already contracted with brokers. Some of them may not have contracted with brokers. I got to go get that done. I got to find out where each building, what their opportunities are, and then I can put together a list from that.
Current
so
inventory.
That's what I need to do.
Current inventory.
Yeah.
So we put together a kind of promulgated standards for tenant improvement allowances,
yeah,
or forgivable loans. Obviously the easy things are you have to have sales tax revenue. If you don't generate sales tax,
you don't qualify.
Yeah,
right.
So things like that.
Right.
I think can work on that outside and bring something to propose next meeting.
Okay.
So I would say we'll go ahead and put that on.
Okay, I'm going to bring it up to deal with the elephant in the room. Do we want to deal with EDC's existence, or do we want to just leave it alone? Debbie said leave it alone. What are you guys thinking? Is that something? I'm just trying to figure out whether is that something we need to pursue at all, or just let's go with the progress we've made tonight and then visit this at some other time.
I think it makes sense to pursue it, but
I think we should wait until you two, as the attorneys, come up with the proper plan.
Okay.
I think what we should look at is changing it, like we talked about, instead of after the Memorial Park, no longer big projects. It's working on the Christmas project and maybe the meet and greet with the restaurants like we talked about, but making Memorial Park the last big thing.
Yeah, let's hold off on that until we redo the mission statement. Maybe
the mission
statement is adjusted
to
make more sense.
Well, we're going to make a mission statement that EDC lives on another day.
Yeah.
So unless they come back and say, here's a good way to go out where we don't lose revenue, which I believe is the goal.
All right.
That's what we'll be looking into. I have no idea how long that will take.
No,
but
no, I understand. I'm
that's
just
what
saying.
We'll be looking into.
Anybody else have any other comments on that? On the list?
Kind of object to the goal is getting rid of the EDC.
I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm saying that it was discussed, and we're still discussing it. To me, there's no point in talking about getting rid of it until we have, for lack of a better word, an exit.
I mean, I see a benefit of having it. I think it keeps a separation. To me, city council is more about the town as a, if you think of it, the umbrella. We're a separate entity that has nothing to do with so much the residents, in my opinion, based on the law. That's why we're talking about sales tax revenue and things like that. We're here for the businesses. So I really do feel like there's a complete separation. So I don't think it should all be given to the council. We're like, we want to keep the purse strings in check, that you're not trying to make it too gray and using money that's not designated for other projects.
I know Ryan's told me that, so thank you.
Good point.
Yeah. All right, any other comments for tonight? Well, then we will adjourn this meeting at 8:05. And thank you, everyone, for your input, and we will move forward and make this happen.
Thank you for the picture, Chris.
I really want to go home.
what Wayne was referencing.
Did you have any other edits to the minutes from last time? And I thought I was good with them. Oh yeah, I was good with them, but I didn't see anything in this.
It's been a month.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to remember.
It's been a month, the holidays and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Just let me know if you need any more edits. Otherwise, because I don't know what the process is. I know they went to you and then they're posted.
They come in the packet.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because the board has to approve the minutes.
Ah, gotcha.